Hello, everybody. We're changing it up a bit. Keep you on your toes. I didn't hear anybody. How are you guys?
We're good.
I don't think I asked that, actually. That's good.
Yay!
We got victory!
Yep. Something that's been ringing in my spirit, it doesn't have to do with my message, but the Lord spoke to me. I felt it really strongly in my spirit that we are blessed and we are thankful and we are victorious. And that's just something that I feel like the Lord is just stirring up, that we should proclaim over our lives, that we're blessed and that we are thankful and that we're victorious.
Amen. Yes.
I thought when I had felt that rising up, I thought that's what my teaching was going to be about, but no. I started to write it, but then I went. I felt the Spirit leading me somewhere else. So, something that's very important to us. Something that's very important to us in the Christian sense, as being Christians, is the presence of the Lord. We need that. It's up there. Very top. If you guys don't read these often, you should more often. These are our, I guess, mission statements, kind of. It's experience God's presence, teach God's word, show God's love, living God's purpose, and transforming families, our community, and the world. And how do we do that? By doing those other four things. But I want to focus on experiencing God's presence. That's going to be the main focus today. God's presence. What is it? The presence is just somebody being there, right? When you say, Mitch is present, that means he's here. Right? He's here. And so when we say God's presence is here, what does that mean? He's here. So I want to piggyback off Nina's message a little bit from Sunday. And Jesus' main reason to come onto the earth was so we could be with him now and forever. That's why God sent Jesus, right? That was the main goal, to connect us with God. And that alone should be good enough to deserve our endless praise, our endless thankfulness. We should be thankful just for that, just for the opportunity to be with God. And if that's all God ever did for you, if that's all he ever did for us, that should still be enough to praise him and thank him. Amen. But we know God is so much more. There were side effects to Jesus doing this. There were side effects of Jesus dying and raising up and connecting us back to God. There were extra benefits, like healing. That was one of the side effects. The fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit, the power to cast out demons, to speak in tongues. All those things came extra. And I'm so glad they did. And if I didn't put it up there, but at the end of the Gospels, there's the Great Commission. And it says to baptize and, right, baptize, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. And then the other one is this one always makes me laugh, because I'm a visual person. When somebody tells me something, I picture it in my head. And the part where it says pick up serpents and then drink poison and not hurt them. In my head, because all those things that Jesus was talking about, all those things lead people to Christ, right? Casting out demons, it leads people to Christ. Amen. Healing leads. Yeah. So me picking up a snake is going to lead somebody to Christ? I just want to picture like back in the day, somebody was saying, oh, I'm only going to follow Jesus if you could pick up that snake. Okay. Just the way my brain went. But there are so much more benefits than just those that we just talked about the of Jesus coming down. But main focus is presence, was to be connected to us, to walk with us in the garden. These extra benefits, we need to use them. I want to stay a little bit longer on that. What good is health insurance if you have it and don't use it? Like, I have a screen protector on my iPad. I paid a little extra for it so I could get unlimited replacements anytime it cracks. But what good is it if I don't use the warranty to replace it? I know there's a copay and people don't want to pay the copay and all that stuff, but Jesus already paid for that. And faith is the ID card to say, hey, put it on Jesus' tab. Yes. That's good. But the presence of the Lord is where it's at. If we are to call ourselves Christians, we need to have regular fellowship with Christ. Yes. We need to have regular fellowship with the Lord. And so in the beginning, in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and the void and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What was there in the beginning? The presence of the Lord. And now we're going to jump to Revelations. Revelations 21 is not the last chapter, but it's the end. When I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed. But verse 3, God's there. He's there at the end. He's there at the beginning. He's there at the end. His presence is here now. It wasn't the beginning, and it's going to be in the future. And something I just noticed right now, in the in Genesis, it says the water was there. Look at Revelation. The sea went away. So everything else passed away, but the presence of the Lord stayed. This is something that I just noticed right now. I don't know why, but there it is. Let's go ahead and jump to Exodus 29. This is kind of a place where God is kind of punishing some people for disobeying him, but we can still use it. It says, I will dwell among the people of Israel. I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. At the heart of all this is the relationship with God. It's all for relationship. And in the Great Commission, what was one of the first things that we were called to do? Make disciples of all the nations. When we go out into the world, when we go out to our work, to Walmart, to Food City, to any of those places, what is something that we carry?
What we carry.
Our presence, and the presence of God. So when we go somewhere, we carry the presence, right? All right, so if we make disciples and teach them the right way, what are they carrying?
The presence,
right? And if we are to take the disciples and send the disciples to all the nations, what are we supposed to be spreading? The presence of the Lord is something that we should be spreading. Sin tries to divide the fellowship we have with God. Sin cannot be in the presence of the Lord. It's very hard to hear, but some of us carry sin that we don't want to let go of. And all of us have or are carrying sin that we struggle to get rid of. When sin attaches to us and we don't want to get rid of it, we feel uncomfortable in the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord should be joy, it's comfort, peace. That's the presence of the Lord. The presence is not condemning, it's not hurtful. So if you're feeling hurt, condemned in the presence of the Lord, that means you're holding on to something. I knew a few people, I'm not going to name names, but I knew a few people that called themselves Christians, but they didn't like to be in praise and worship or in the presence of the Lord. They hated the time of worship. They just didn't like being in it. Anytime we would get deep into worship, they would make an excuse to leave. One person literally told me their cousin was dying I think we're praying in tongues or something like that, and we're going in deep. And this person told me that. Later, I asked their mom, how's the cousin? Doesn't have a cousin so-and-so? Like, because they had told me their name. And I asked the mom, they don't have a cousin. And so I was like, what the heck? But if you're feeling condemned in the presence of the Lord, it's not God making you feel that way. It's the sin wanting to disconnect you from the presence of the Lord. Because sin wants to get out of there. And only you can make the choice to leave or to make the sin leave and give it to God. It's up to you. Totally up to you. You're the only person in control of that. Between you and God. And we could look at King David for an example. Out of everybody in the Bible, I feel like David sinned the most. Like, and we're not tallying points, but he did a lot of not good stuff. Yeah. But God still called him the man after his own heart. Why? Right? Why? Why? Because if sin disconnects him from God, why would the person who sins the most be a person after God's heart. But one thing, reading through David's story, I could be wrong, but reading through it, I never saw David make the same sin twice. Every time he asked for forgiveness, he actually meant it and never did that thing again. And I think that's what God means, a man after my own heart, is that, yes, God, I mess up with this, I'm not going to do it again. And that's true forgiveness. That's true repentance, should I say. Is saying you messed up and leaving it there and then just moving forward and not doing that again. So like, another example, if I punch Mitch in the face right here, right now, and then I say I'm sorry, then I come back like 2 seconds later and I punch him again, do you think I was sorry the first time? No, right? Why is it any different with God? Why is it when we sin, we ask for forgiveness, and then we go back and do the exact same thing? That's just something for you to think about. The presence of the Lord is very important. Again, if you guys haven't noticed, when I'm teaching, I always repeat what I'm trying to. But I'm trying to, with the whole theme of the message, I try to say that thing over and over again. Just so something could stick in your head. If all this goes over, remember that. But experiencing God's presence, that helps the church. That helps the church perform its purpose. It says it right there. We're experiencing God's presence. Experience God's presence. When we experience God's presence, everything else becomes easy. We start seeing why we live in purpose, how, or living God's purpose. Living God's purpose is living in His presence. Taking His presence everywhere we go. If we're in God's presence, guess what? Showing love is super easy. Yeah, and if we start taking God's presence out there and making disciples, then we start transforming families. Then when families start transforming, we transform the community. And then with the community, the city, the state, continuing to go on and going on and going on and on and on until we get to the world. But it all starts with just carrying the presence of the Lord. We are to share the gospel so that the lost may experience the presence of the Lord. Amen. And if you've been around church for any number of times, you should know that when you step into God's presence, it only gets deeper. When you spend time there, it only gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You never reach the end until Jesus comes back. If we are to call ourselves Christians, we need to carry that presence. It's a must. It's not a maybe. It's not an if. No, it's a must. If we lack joy in your walk with Christ, if you lack joy in your life, all you need to do is spend a little more time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's all you need to do. It says it right in the Bible. It says right there. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore. In the presence there is fullness of joy. Not just any joy. Fullness of joy. The presence is needed so, so, so badly. I know it seems kind of, well, of course we need God. But no, like, we really need not only The presence of God, we always say that God is everywhere, right? Right, we always say that, so of course we're king. No, but the thing I'm talking about is the manifest presence of the Lord. The evidence that he's here. That's all, what we should be carrying around, the evidence that God is with us. We need it to do what we're called to do. Without the presence of God, we cannot do what we're called to do. If you're called to be a missionary, you can't do that without the presence of the Lord. If you're called to be a pastor, you can't do that without the presence of the Lord. Anything you're called to, even non-ministry positions, you can't live your life without the presence of the Lord. It's, yeah, you just can't. We need to be learning. We need to be experiencing God's presence, how it works, how it moves, so that when it moves, we could know, hey, that's God over there. Let's go help them out. If we see something, say like, there's a prophecy about the high school that people are going to get slain in the spirit. The spirit of God is going to fall so hard that people are going to be slain in the spirit and stuff like that. Well, guess what? The people who are not experience that don't experience God's presence are not going to know what's going on. So there needs to be people in leadership at the school that need to know, that are know what's going on, so they know that's God moving. Let's not stop it. That's God moving. We need to be aware of how God moves in order to know when he moves. The presence of God is not for only for special occasions. It's not only for guest speakers. It's not only conferences, but it's for every single day. And I noticed that I said every single day. I didn't say just church days. I said every single day. Yeah, we don't have church every day, exactly. But we are supposed to carry the presence every single day. Imagine you have your spouse, right? And you only talk to them on Valentine's Day. And the rest of the year, you don't talk to them. You probably wouldn't have a spouse if you did that. What if we have our kids and you only talk with them, only spend time with them on Kids Day? It doesn't work like that, right? We say that and we're like, that's stupid. Why would you do that, right? All right, and then why would we only spend time with God one time out of the year, one time out of the month, one time out of the week? Yeah, we are to spend time with God every single day, and then we carry him with us throughout the day. God gave us Jesus so we could fellowship with him every single day and carry him, carry his manifest presence with us every single day. All right, so now we got kind of in a nutshell what the presence of the Lord is, right? But how do we enter in? Right? How do we interact with God? How do we start with that? Like, right, it kind of seems like, all right, now I know about this, but how do I do that? Like, it's trying to figure out how to play a sport. You see them playing, like hockey. And then all of a sudden, they tell you, you're seeing the sport, and they tell you, go play hockey. How do I do that? I don't even know how to skate. Right? Well, it's very, very simple. The Bible says it's very, very simple. And it's in Psalms 100. Psalm of giving thanks, for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord He is God. He is who made us, and we are his. We are his people and his sheep on his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. So, says it right there. Bible, we can't make it any simpler than that. Come into his presence with singing. With singing. It could have said any other thing. I know David was a songwriter, but he meant it here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Does it say with good singing? Does it say with perfect pitch singing? Does it say with a beautiful voice singing? No, it doesn't, right? It just says, come into his presence with singing. Amen. With singing. Because if it was only people who could sing, not that many people would be able to enter the presence of the Lord. Right. Like even famous artists, because there's a lot of auto-tune out there. But it's come into his presence with singing. With singing. We sing into the presence of the Lord. Then verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. It doesn't mean that you only get to enter his gates on Thanksgiving. It's with thanksgiving, being thankful, giving thanks. Yeah. And enter his courts with praise. Same thing again. This time it doesn't say singing, it just says praise, but there's many types of praise. And so now we're going to spend some time in worship. And I encourage you guys to... We encourage you guys we'll start off standing up, and we're going to enter into the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I encourage you guys to seek after the presence of the Lord, to seek after it by singing, by praising, by worshiping, by just giving it to God. We could start standing up. Start with standing up.
Thank you, Jesus.
We just thank you, Lord, for all you've done, Lord. We just thank you for your presence, Lord. And I just thank you that this word you've given us, Lord, about your presence, Lord. And I just thank you that you'll come and touch every single one of us, that you'll come and speak to us, Lord, that you'll come and that we'll feel your presence, that we'll feel your presence manifest. We thank you, Lord, and we love you.